Chapter 8. H. It took four policemen to throw H into jail.
"I ain't done nothing," shouted H as they locked the door on him.
He pulled the bars on the tiny window, thinking that maybe he could bend or break them if he tried hard enough.
"Stop it before they kill you," said the other man in the room.
"Nobody can kill me," said H. He was too big for that. H had never seen anyone as big as he was.
"Those white people will kill you," said the man.
"Why?" said H.
"I told you, I didn't do anything."
"That's not what I heard," said the man.
"They said you were talking to a white woman."
H sat down next to the man.
He was angry.
"I wasn't talking to a white woman. Why would I do that?"
The man laughed.
"Boy, look at you. You think just because you're big and strong that you're safe from them? No. Those white people hate to see a free black man. They'll say anything to get you back in chains again. Doesn't matter if it's true or not."
It was not fair. H had been a free man ever since slavery ended in the South, but he still didn't feel free.
Not really.
H spent the next 4 days in jail. When the guards eventually came to let him out, they would not tell him why they had arrested him, but told him he had to pay a $10 fine to be free again. H only had $5, but the policemen did not care.
"Ask your family to help," they said.
H did not have any family. His mother had killed herself just before H was ready to be born, so he was taken from her pregnant body. All H had known was his master on the plantation and the other slaves around him. There was only one person that H considered calling. Her name was Etha, and she was the best woman he had ever known. They dated for a long time, but she left him because he cheated on her with another woman. He could not call Etha now for her help. It would be too shameful. With no one to help him, H was chained to 10 other men and sold to work in the coal mines for the next 10 years. H had spent years working on plantations, but the coal mines were a different kind of pain. For the first month, H spent whole days on his knees trying to shovel the coal. It never got easier, but H's body seemed to get used to the new weight. H and the other prisoners had to shovel thousands of pounds of coal a day, or they would be whipped. It was easy to die in the mines. If the prison guards did not kill you because you did not shovel enough coal, sometimes the roof of a tunnel came down, burying the prisoners alive. Other times, people seemed to die for no reason at all. All the prisoners in the mines were just like him. Black men who had been slaves. They were all there for small crimes. One man, Timothy, had been sold into the mines for shouting at a noisy dog one night. Another man, Solomon, had been arrested for stealing a few coins. Occasionally, a white prisoner would be brought down into the coal mines. Once, H had been given a white man named Thomas as a partner. When they got down into the tunnel, Thomas's arms began to shake so badly he could not pick up his shovel. Without saying a word, H picked up Thomas's shovel and shoveled enough coal for two men in one day. H saved Thomas's life that day, but later that night, H realized something. He could not move his arms anymore. The prison guards had seen how H had worked to shovel Thomas's coal for him, but he knew they would whip him if he did not do his job the next day. He had worked too hard shoveling Thomas's coal for him, and now he was going to die for it. The next day, when he got down into the mine, H tried to lift his shovel, but his arms would not work. He tried again, putting all his energy into moving his arms, but nothing happened. H started to take deep breaths. This was it. The prison guards would whip him to death at the end of the day. Suddenly,
Josie, H's closest friend in the mines, started shoveling his coal for him. Then everyone in the tunnel stepped forward to help.
"Thank you for your help yesterday," said Thomas, as he helped to shovel H's coal. Nearly 10 years after he was first sent down to the mine, H was free once again. He had no family to return home to, so he headed to a town called Pratt City, where his friend Josie had told him he would go once he was free. It was easy to find Josie in Pratt City. He lived there with his wife and children. "Don't you have anyone you can write to?" asked Josie's wife as she made H some food. It was the first good meal H had eaten in 10 years.
"Just one person," said H. "A woman named Etha, but I don't think she'd want to hear from me now."
"You should write to her," said Josie's wife. "You can ask our son, little Joe, to help you write it. He knows how to write."
"No," said H. He thought about the last argument he and Etha had had before she left him. "There's no need."
"Somebody needs to know that you're free."
But H was too ashamed to write to Etha. The next day, Josie took H to the mines in Pratt City, this time as a free man. He had spent years working in the mines for nothing, but now he would finally be paid. But although he was making money, working in the mines was hard work, and the conditions were still terrible.
"Join the union with me," said Josie one night.
"We could use someone like you. With your size and voice, they might listen to us." H went to a union meeting with Josie and sat in the back. He listened as a doctor spoke to them about black lung disease and how working in the dust of the mines meant they were more likely to get it. H always knew that accidents in the mines were dangerous, but he did not know men could also get diseases from working in the tunnels.
"We should be asking for more money," said H. "There's no way to stop breathing in the dust and getting the lung disease, but if we're going to do it, we might as well get paid more for it."
When H walked home that night, he started to think about what he had learned at the union meeting. He thought about the black lung disease and how easily he could get it, too. H walked to Josie's house and knocked on the door. Little Joe answered.
"Uncle H, Daddy isn't home."
"I'm not here to see your daddy," said H. "Can you write me a letter?" Little Joe nodded and went back into the house to get some paper. When he came back, he wrote this letter for H. "Dear Etha, this is H. I am now free and living in Pratt City." H put the letter in the mail the next morning. The union members went on strike shortly after. They gave their bosses a list of demands: better pay, better care for the sick, and to work fewer hours. Their bosses did not listen. They said that they would replace the free miners with prisoners, and they did. H watched as a carriage full of young, black teenagers, no older than 16 years old, came to work in the mines.
"Let those kids go!" shouted H. "They're just kids, let them go."
"Are you going to stop being fools and get back to work?" shouted their bosses. Suddenly, one of the young boys they had brought to work in the mine started to run. Immediately, a gun fired and the boy fell to the ground. H and the rest of the striking miners ran forward to attack the bosses. H grabbed a white man by the throat. He wanted to throw him down into the coal mines, but he stopped himself. He wanted to show them that he was not the violent man they wanted him to be. After 6 months of striking, the bosses finally gave in and agreed to pay them more. After the union meeting, where the pay rise was announced, H walked home with Josie. He said goodbye to his friend, then went next door to his own home. When he got there, he saw that his front door was open and a strange smell was coming from inside. H walked inside slowly, not sure what he would find. It was Etha. She was standing in his kitchen, cooking a meal. When she heard him enter the room, she turned and looked at him. "I got your letter." H did not know what to say. He stared at Etha and waited for her to continue. "It took me a long time to forgive you," said Etha. "But when I was ready to forgive you, I found out that the white people had chained you up again for something I knew you didn't do. I would have helped you, H, but nobody would tell me how I could get you out. What was I supposed to do, H? Tell me, what was I supposed to do?" H did not say anything. Instead, he walked over to her and pulled her into his arms.